Hey there, are you ready to build a fitness business that becomes a true income-producing asset? Then I welcome you to the Fitness Business Freedom Show, brought to you by Fitness Revolution. I am your host, Justin Hanover, and we have over 15 years of experience building thriving fitness businesses, and we are committed to sharing our knowledge and expertise with you. You can expect to hear proven business foundations and frameworks, success stories from our coaching partners, and guest experts to give you straight answers for your biggest questions. Doesn't matter if you have an online business, fitness facility, or operate as an independent trainer, you are in the right place to grow your business and create the personal freedom you desire. Welcome to today's episode. I'm your host, Justin Hanover, success coach with Fitness Revolution. Before we dive in and bring you today's guest, I wanted to share a little bit about what you can expect to hear and who we have joining us. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Anna Woods. Anna is truly dedicated to her clients and pushing this industry forward. She started this journey back in 2007 with She Strength. Through her time, it has taken her from being recognized as the 2017 Personal Fitness Professional Trainer of the Month to speaking at the Chicago Down Syndrome Society event. When she is not working in her barn gym with her clients or coaching softball, she will be taking in life and creating memories with her beautiful family. In this episode, Anna talks about how she created her business to fit what she needed from a business. She built a business that best supported her lifestyle. She wasn't interested in following trends or what worked for someone else. A huge lesson, a lot more need to hear and learn. And on that note, let's get Anna on and dive into this conversation. So today's episode is brought to you by Fitness Revolution. So you started your fitness business and you've been in the game now for a few years. You might have even seen some good growth over those years, but now you feel stuck. You feel like the momentum you once had just isn't there and you don't know how to get it back. Should you be focusing on your marketing, your sales, your team? What is the next bottleneck to focus on that will allow you to break the chains holding you back? That is a great question. And one of the biggest skills as an owner is to be able to understand how to identify the next biggest issue to keep the business moving forward. And that is exactly why Fitness Revolution has created our proprietary needs assessment to allow you to quickly see where your business stacks up and receive immediate feedback on what to focus on next. It's a quick 10 question assessment that will be able to provide you with valuable feedback to get past sticking points and hit your next goal. Whether you feel like you're stuck at the moment, feeling frustrated with your current progress, or want to dial in what you currently have working, this assessment is the next step to making that happen. I invite you to head over to our show notes where we have a direct link to the needs assessment and you can easily access it there. Now let's jump into today's show. Anna, thank you so much for taking the time to come here today and share your insights and help other gym owners.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure. So I thought it'd be appropriate to start with giving our listeners a perspective, like kind of like a 1,000-foot view of how you started She Strength and got to where you are now.
Sure. There's a lot of different avenues leading up to that, but the QuickBooks view here is basically I have done different things. I've been in the industry almost 18 years now, and I've run gyms, I've co-ran gyms, I've had boutique fitness facilities, I've worked in YMCAs. And as I progressed through that, you take different parts of each of those experiences and kind of start creating your own culture and your own ideas of how you want your own personal gym to look. In the meantime of creating that, I ended up having my second daughter, and then we adopted my son. My son has Down syndrome. And so in that process, our world was kind of flipped around in that I had to let go of a lot of the current views of how I wanted my gym to run and change it, because all of a sudden now I couldn't just drop my son off at daycare or at the gym daycare because they weren't able to meet his needs or they were excessive for them to be able to handle. And it became very stressful to try to be in the gym environment. So I kind of switched my thinking around and created a home gym mentality. I started collecting equipment and training out of my garage at our at our home while my kids were napping or while he played on the side with his toys. And I started recording some of those videos to social media. We also lived in a very rural area that didn't have real close gym access. So between the combination of having a child with special needs and not having a close gym access, I kind of created this idea of training at home. During that time, I had started competing in CrossFit and actually was competing at a pretty high level. And people were just amazed that I would bring all my kids to these CrossFit events. And then they would find out that I was training in my garage by myself. And so they started calling me Home Gym. And that was kind of my name through all of that competitive era. They would announce each of them coming in and then be like, and then Anna Woods, home gym. Okay. Home gym. You know, it was just kind of a funny concept that stuck with me. So I sort of ran with that whole idea and created an online fitness program, first using YouTube videos and sending out playlists, then various segments of videos, and then eventually created my app where now people log in and have access to the video libraries that I program for them. Long before the COVID era, I was also doing Zoom videos for my gym where people could log in live either via Zoom or Facebook Live and work out with me while I was working out here at home while my kids were running around. And so that's kind of where the whole concept of She Strength came from, trying to empower women through different mechanisms of attending a gym, not necessarily going to the gym and working out, but figuring out how to find time in your day to carve out 15, 20 minutes of your own time, even with kids running around and chaos of life, to empower them to find their own journey to health amongst all of that. So.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I love ultimately how it ended up you crafting a business model that best fit your lifestyle and allowed you to live the lifestyle that you're looking to live, rather than the other way around. A lot of people end up building their business or their life around their business. So I liked how it ended up unfolding for you. And like you took the time to, like, in the beginning, I think you like to put your time into the industry and understand what works best for you, what doesn't work best for you, and then taking your life into consideration with how you are going to go about making your business, which is fantastic. And I think that's something that more people need to hear rather than just taking adapting a business model because you see someone else doing it type of thing.
Yeah. It's a scary step. I remember thinking, if I put this gym in the back of our garage and we live, like, people are going to have to drive on gravel roads to get here. We have a really long driveway. You have to wind all the way back. Like, nobody's going to come want to work out here, you know, but for me, the sacrifice was worth taking so that I could still be available for my kids and meet the needs of my kids at home. And now I run a full-time business out of here every day. So
how did you come over? Overcome those unique challenges of having a business on your property, of like having people find you and having people feel comfortable with going to a place like that. Like, I mean, those are definitely unique experiences that you would have to overcome, obviously, versus say having a traditional business in like a strip mall or something like that.
Yeah, correct. Being extremely consistent on social media, like sticking to my clientele, knowing exactly who my clientele was, sticking very consistent to posting to their exact needs, and then being very present in the communities of those people. Speaking at events with other women or attending special needs conferences or doing warm-ups for like local 5Ks that are sponsoring like downstream community or and then just being real and authentic on social media. Like, my videos that I post are not squeaky clean, beautiful, produced videos. It's literally in my garage. I mean, we have miniature horses. The horses have made their appearance in some of my workout videos because I just completely grasp the whole mentality and know that there will be only a certain very, very specific certain market that's attracted to this. But what I've realized is that the market that I attract are people that never would step foot in a gym anyway. So I get to invite them to come to my home, welcome them to my house, which is very non-judgmental, very non-threatening. I actually have worked very closely with several of our mental health providers in the community. Some because they need to attend a gym where they aren't in public eye, like for safety reasons. And also because a lot of them are dealing with a lot of mental health issues that triggering in a big gym. So that's become a huge market for me as well, which I never foresaw initially. But the idea that people are coming to a safe place literally at my home has also become kind of a market that's cool that I love getting to serve as well. So
that is true. Yeah, it's interesting how like things unfold and different opportunities present themselves that, I mean, like you said, you never would have planned for had you when you first started.
Right.
When you started this process, I'm just curious, for someone that's listening that maybe is considering this type of business model of working out of their home, was there any unique challenges with like your local government of getting this approved, or like anything different you had to do to structure your business to make it okay for this type of business to operate on your property?
Yes, it's a constantly evolving process with our county. because we live in the county and not in the city, luckily I get to avoid all the city mandates as far as like rules and regulations. But like we have to keep our driveway, we have like a half mile driveway, we have to keep certain levels of maintenance on. It has to be ADA compliant. I have to go like propose to the county like my business practices. I have to keep in good contact with our neighbors, even though they're all like half a mile away, a mile away. So like, as far as that goes, yeah, there's certain credentials and things that I have to follow and stay up on every year. And they're always changing, which is slightly annoying, but it's worth it to keep running my business out here. So yeah.
Were there any regulations you had to work around with? Because I know like parking is usually a big thing for towns. So like, was there anything that you had to work around with that?
I had to show that we had so much parking spaces, I guess. So that got creative, you know, trying, like we have a huge circle driveway. So we had plenty of parking spaces, but they weren't like lines and cones and curbs, you know? So they had to come out and like measure car lengths along our driveway to make sure that there was legit space for cars to come in and out. And so, yeah, I feel like the county is getting creative with me as far as like, this is literally a business model that nobody around here has. And so we're creating a lot of our own rules as we go, basically. But
well, yeah, that can be a good thing.
Right. Good and bad.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, yeah, I mean, like you said, obviously some frustrations of some unexpected new regulations, but also I'm sure to some degree you also have some influence in the regulations or how they go about it because they have nothing else to compare it to.
Correct. Yeah, I've actually got the cool opportunity to be a part of some of the rural development entrepreneurship programs here in town because of what I'm doing out here in the rural area in central Kansas where we live. There's just not a lot. So it's been kind of cool to get to speak life into some other entrepreneurs that are looking at doing something similar and being able to be like, here's this paperwork, here's this format, here's this. Like, I kind of get to be a voice in that aspect as well, because we literally are kind of paving the road as we go on these things. Yeah.
Huh. That's awesome. And I actually just saw you post, I think it was yesterday or so, that you put up your winter wall.
Oh, yes. Yes, because our shop's really large and I only like heating the gym space. So we have a wooden wall that slides in and out. So in the summer, I slide the dividing wall out and towards the far back of the garage. And then we open the garage doors and run air, kind of like air system through here. And then in the winter, we slide that winter wall back over, nail it down, and then close it off so I can run heat just in this little space that I'm in. So.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. But I mean, that's a fantastic model. And obviously, it's giving you access to a space that you probably wouldn't have access to otherwise if you decide to go more of a traditional route. So I think for you guys listening that are considering this, I mean, this is definitely something to think about if it fits in with obviously your style of how you want to run your business. But It's definitely a leaner way to run your business. And like how Anna is living it, it allows you to integrate it like with your lifestyle a lot easier.
Correct.
No commute makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. I can throw a load of laundry in, train a client, run back inside, fold some clothes, come back out, train a client.
No, and that's huge. That's something that I think people take for granted, especially in this type of business where like, obviously you have like typically split schedules and it can be longer days.
Yeah.
It can be hard to stay up on top of just household stuff that you have to do.
Correct.
So that definitely makes it a lot easier. So I'm wondering now that like you've been, like say, like been into your business for a period of time, aside from getting it established and all that type of stuff, were there any other like kind of unexpected challenges that came up in running the business that you didn't see coming? And how did you overcome it?
Oh, that's a good question. Cause there's a lot of variables that could amount to that. Trying to think specifically, like I just hired my first employee last year and I've been running this business out here almost 7 years. So finding one of the things I've talked about with Luke, my fitness rev mentor, is finding someone to work for me and run classes in my own gym space. Because the hard part is like, if I'm not here and I want someone to run the gym, they're at my house. Like there's always people at my house. So it's hard for me. It was really hard for me. It took me a long time to hire someone else because my kids still play here. The garage has their basketball goal and their four wheeler and they want to have friends over. And so it's really hard to find the separation of business and home life when your business is your home life. So for example, like my husband, I would say, okay, on Wednesdays, I'm going to take off and my employee's going to run the gym all day. Well, then he'll be like, okay, but I need to change the oil in the vehicles. I have to fix this and this. I need access to the shop during these hours. And it's hard to find that divide between, you reach a glass ceiling of the number of hours you can work because you need to have space for home life here too. Does that kind of make sense? Hard to explain. Yeah, that was something that took me a long time to try to figure out how to coordinate into my business and home life. Because I want to give my kids and family space of just having a home and just living as a family here and not always business. But I also wanted to step away from the business a little bit myself and let someone else take the reins on some things out here too.
Yeah.
So that was an unforeseeable struggle, at least initially. I think we've kind of got it figured out now, but
that makes sense. I mean, that's something you don't really necessarily think about right away, but it is true. I mean, like you said, even if you take a day off, I mean, unless you're leaving your house to go someplace, like as soon as you step out, like clients see you or things like that. I mean, it's like, you can't just be like, nope, sorry, I'm off. Like I'm not paying attention to you.
Right.
So that definitely does pose a unique challenge. How did you go about overcoming that?
So we split hours. Like, so we try to find the weeknights where I will be working at a different location or helping coach one of my kids' practices or something. Our schedule's, again, very based off of mine. I have employees working when I am not here, quote, present, visually, I guess you could say. So that's kind of what we've been doing is my employee will work one or two nights that I am not available to work. So we actually added on to the schedule instead of taking away from it. And she coaches two nights that I wouldn't be able to be here anyway, right now anyway. And it was the same in the summer too. She would coach one or two afternoons while the kids and I would go to the swimming pool or go do other things doing our families. She would run programs here. So.
And are you open every day?
Monday through Thursday.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I actually coach out of a different gym on Wednesdays and Fridays. So my home gym here is closed Fridays. And then Kennedy coaches on Wednesdays here when I'm at the other gym location. So.
Okay. Yeah, no, that definitely works out well. And maybe you can speak to people about that, because I think too many people are afraid to actually make a schedule that works for them in the fear of thinking that they're going to miss out on business or be ridiculed by people because they're not open whenever they want to be open. And I know a lot of people are just working crazy hours just to accommodate everyone but themselves. Yeah. So maybe you can kind of speak on that a minute.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And I get a ton of pushback on that one because my gym does not open till 7 a.m. And I get people all the time. Well, if you'd open at 5, I would come out there. Well, 5 to 6 is my workout time personally. And that's always been a non-negotiable for me. Mm. And then my kids are getting up and getting ready to go to school from 6 to 7:30. So I just, it's a non-negotiable and it always will be, at least until my kids are at home. So I try to offer, we'll do like 1 weekend a month open gym where they could come in on like a Saturday, or, we'll do different holiday specials where people can come in. So I try to counterbalance that a little bit with opportunities for people. Again, they have the app too. I tell them, well, you can train at home just like I do online through my app. You get 5 days a week of things you can do at home with dumbbells and a foam roller or whatever. But then a lot of times it just has to be me being like, set that boundary. No, here's some other locations to go check out. Like, I just can't fit that need for you. It's not an option. So, I try to counterbalance that with some options. Like, so Monday, Tuesday, Thursday mornings, we have what we call open gym in the mornings and in the evenings. And so instead of a structured class, it's come and go for 2 hours. And they can either follow the workout that they get in the app, or I have a quickie workout on the board or a full workout on the board. And either myself, my intern, or one of my other coaches is walking around and is present. So the idea behind that is if you can only come for 20 or 30 minutes, you can at least come get that in and leave. You don't have to try to be on time for a set class and be here for a full hour. So trying to meet the needs of people differently to eliminate some of those excuses or time constraints, but also still valuing my time and my family's time within that. So.
Yeah. You have to. And I like how you said that you're just, at some point you have to be, just be super clear with that boundary and say that, because I think the more kind of wishy-washy you come across with it, when people bring it up with you, the more they're going to chip at you and keep coming back with it. But if you're very clear, and you, like you said, you draw that line, then I think it also makes it easier for other people to respect it and not keep pushing it with you, because they clearly know where you stand on it.
Yeah. I have done every once or twice a year, I will do a 5 a.m. club 6-week boot camp, and I charge a lot for it. And you pay up front, and it's a 45-minute class. And I'll do that like 2 times a year. And so that way I can say, well, this is in February, you can come to the 5 a.m. class. And what ends up happening is most of those people only make half the sessions anyway, which makes me feel better about not giving up my 5 a.m. hour all the time, but they've also paid up front, and I'm getting paid even if they don't show, in kind of a way to prove my point. Like, well, I had a 6-week course. You only came to 2 of them. Therefore, I'm not giving up every morning for you to not show up. Like, that's just, you're just proving my point, basically. Mm. So,
that's true. I mean, it's, that's good. I mean, I think you're a good example for that, with how you're running your business and making decisions, and, like, you have your reasons and you're sticking to them. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. It's your business and it's your life.
Correct.
So I want to switch a little bit and kind of go into maybe a little more tactics of what you're doing within the business. And first I wanted to really touch on the different, I know you mentioned social media already, but like the different marketing channels that you're using and that you're finding are working, best for you, and how you're going about utilizing them.
Yeah. That's ever changing because I'm constantly experimenting with different avenues. I was just telling Luke the other day, so I'm a strength and conditioning coach for our college softball team here in our community. And so I actually work with a lot of softball players now because of that. So most of my kids' classes are focused on softball athletes. And so Twitter has become a huge avenue for me with strength and conditioning and sports. So I told him the other day, I'm like, my sports channel is Twitter. I hated Twitter before. I never could figure out how to use it, but I think I'm finally gaining some traction on it. So I use Twitter for softball, recruiting for our college, for promotions of strength and conditioning, and to put myself out there in that community. Because I work with a lot of young girls, Snapchat and Instagram have become my promotions to those girls. So okay. Like I use Snapchat and Instagram stories as like the fun stuff that I do, fashion things, new shoes I get, quirky, like lifestyle promotions. Like I'll use Snapchat and Instagram for that. And then Facebook is still family oriented. I'll post all market events on Facebook, but it's more so to the parents and grandparents, like, yeah. And for my She Strength Women clients, because that's still the biggest market on Facebook is middle-aged women. So I target very specifically what I post to specific social media channels, but I also don't spend a lot of time trying to come up with these amazing posts. I think Gary Vaynerchuk was the first one that like clued me into this. Like you should document your day, not create your day. And so I just try to, because I run an app and because I run a business, I always have my phone on me anyway. And I have kids. So you always want to take fun pictures. So I'll be like, oh my God, that's hilarious. And put one or two quick Snapchat things out. And then that's it. I don't spend any more time thinking, how am I going to make this amazing post to get everyone to come to my gym? I just document my day every day, one or two things per social media. Facebook, I will schedule ahead of time because Facebook, you can do that with in the business suite. And then I will make my post very specific to whatever event I'm getting ready to promote. So I spend a little more strategy on Facebook because I'll run ads on there too. I have the most luck with Facebook ads than I do any other avenue so far. But yeah, consistency through those, but not overthinking it. And I think it took me a long time to get comfortable with being okay with not looking Instagram perfect and all that. It's easy to get caught up in wanting to look like all the fitness influencers that are putting out content with millions of followers, but I realized that's not my market anyway. And I want to be seen as a professional that kids can relate to and want to be a part of. So that's been freeing that way.
That's in alignment with like your brand of like coming across authentic, because like you said, I like that what you said there of just documenting your day, not creating it. Because obviously creating it, like we know that's like people know it's fake, like right. of what you're putting out there. It's not true. So I can definitely see that's going that authentic route. Obviously it's going to bring more real people in to what you're doing. And I'm curious with the Twitter, can you like share on that a little bit more of like how you're actually having success with that age demographic? What is it about Twitter that's allowing you to connect with those people better?
So coaches are who I tend to connect with the most on Twitter. So connecting with local club coaches in the softball community, other strength and conditioning coaches in the community or area, high school coaches like football, track, basketball. So like kids that I work with, I'll retweet their stats or I'll put videos of them working out with me and then videos of them performing in their sport and like just give them credit. Or every once in a while I'll put just a quick snippet of things that we're doing in the gym that I want to share other coaches could try or that are working great for me that I want to share. I realized the more openly that I share, the more traction you gain, at least in the strength and conditioning and coaching community on Twitter. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of, like, it's a little bit nerve wracking. I'm still trying to figure out Twitter. Like I get nervous sometimes. Some of those coaches can be harsh. You put your own idea out there and then they're going to retweet it and bash you. And I've had that happen before, but you kind of just have to be like, everyone has a right to their own opinion. I'm going to step off here for a few days. But otherwise, Like, I'll constantly retweet things other coaches. I'll send tweets to coaches, be like, hey, you guys, this worked really well at practice. You should, you know, if you want to try it out, let me know how it goes. Or trying to interact mostly with coaches and strength and conditioning coaches on there. So
it makes sense. I mean, it's not like what I like about your approach overall is that you're utilizing the platform in the way that it's meant to be utilized. Whereas I think a lot of like gym owners out there try to mold the platform into what they want it to be like. And instead of using it for how it is meant to be used, like social interaction, it becomes more of like an ever-changing billboard for your business. And right. That definitely turns people off. Like, it's just not going to make people want to engage with you if they feel like they're just being pitched every day with what your content is.
Yeah.
And that's like the opposite of what the social media is about and how it's meant to be used. So I think that's definitely, obviously, like, you get that and like you understand how to best utilize it and it's working for you.
Yeah. When you let the kids do the talking, like, if my athletes have a good day in the weight room, I'm going to put them up on that Twitter board and be like, showing up today, blah, 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 and tag them. Like, kids love retweeting that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And if they're looking to play at a higher level, whether they're in high school, want to play in college, or at a JUCO wanting to go Division I, like, that's all publicity that those kids are coached to put out there to be seen. So kind of encouraging that with them and giving them opportunities to show themselves off without them having to do it is, I love doing that part of it. That part's fun.
Yeah, no, definitely. Cause it's obviously only going to tie them into you more too.
Correct.
They see you as like a support and an ally and helping them get to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
interesting though. I didn't realize there was that many young people on Twitter.
If you're wanting to be recruited in any way, shape or form, Twitter's where it's at.
Really? Oh
yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
Yes.
I was not aware of that. So now with your business itself, like, obviously you have different types of clientele that you work with. What exactly is it, your methods that go into like keeping your members engaged into like committing to like the process of what they're doing, what they're working towards? Like, obviously, as we all know, like, if we don't keep people engaged, then they're not going to keep coming and then they cancel. So how do you go about handling that big issue that's obviously over everyone's heads?
I wish I had a good solid answer for that, because there are some days where I feel like I'm not doing a very good job at that. And I wish I had a better answer. But I always come back to the same conclusion. Like, I just have to be me and care for my clients in the most authentic way. So I mean, like everyone says, they become like family. And then being at my home, they literally become part of my family, because my kids are out here doing homework, and a client will step out and be like, here, hold on, that problem's not correct. You know, like, they literally become a part of my family. So part of that is just even more encouraging the family aspect of the gym, and letting them be a part of my, you know, checking in on them on the weekends. If they had a date, asking how the date went, you know. Other things that I do more specifically is we have incentive programs. Like, if you get 100 workouts in the app, you get a She Strength swag. You get to pick out a shirt or a hoodie. If you get 400 workouts in the app, then you get like, well, I've bought barbells for most of my new clients, like a Rogue barbell for them to have at home. Because a lot of people that start out in the app only have dumbbells. So if they reach 400 workouts, then I'll usually get them some sort of barbell that they can finally lift with at their own. We do theme nights. So if they'll come out, like carpool night, how many people you can get in your car to bring out to the gym, because it's a little bit of a drive out here. We've done team things where like you and your partner have to compete so many workouts together and get points. We've had dress up nights. We do things outside of the gym. Like, we all just went on a huge women's hike a couple weekends ago on a Sunday, and we all met and hiked for like 6 or 7 miles together. Like, as many that wanted to come anyway.
That's awesome.
Encouraging them, promoting them on social media, just like I do my kids. For a lot of the women that come out here on Facebook, I'll make videos of them lifting during the week and tag them in it, and obviously get permission first, because some don't like to be shared, but, just encouraging them publicly also. So yeah, variants of ways. I can't really tell you which one's working better. Maybe it's a combination of all. Some days I don't feel like it's working at all either. So that's a hard, that's a hard question.
Yeah.
To give a straight answer.
Yeah, because I mean, at the end of the day, obviously, I mean, we can only be responsible for so much.
Right.
I mean, we're dealing with people is our service. So, I mean, like people can be irrational with how we think about things sometimes. So it's like, you never obviously can have 100%. But obviously the idea is to have a pretty high percent of retention rate, to be able to sustain obviously a business like this. But, and with your approaches, do you plan these out in advance?
The trips and stuff, or
the trips up, like the, like you mentioned that you do different special nights that you do.
Yes. So I'll plan 2 or 3 months ahead of time of what our themes are going to be. Okay. And then I always do a promo video like halfway through the month before to give them a heads up of what to prepare for and to get their teams ready or outfits ready or whatever, kind of like sneak peeks that they always look forward to every month. Like they always joke, it's like Christmas. They're going to find out what the next theme is for the next month. Kind of fun. Yeah.
But obviously you built that into your culture.
Correct.
And you're showing up and doing it consistently. And I think that's a lot of people miss that. Yeah. It's not necessarily like an amazing idea that you come up with. It's just come up with a idea and doing it consistently so people know what to expect.
Yeah.
And not just like haphazardly be like, oh, okay, well, this month we'll do this. And then you won't do it for the next month. And then, okay, well, we'll do this month.
And there's also a piece, two other things, is not being glued to your agenda. There's been many times that 2 weeks before the month, I will totally scrap the idea I had and change it just because the energy of the gym is a different way right now. There could be something going on in the community. Like there's been many times where I've completely deleted the whole original plan and started all over because I just needed to change it. So being willing to work on the fly. And then I think a second piece I wanted to add on to that was also I've become really good at filtering potential clients. Like I think I used to at the beginning be like, I want everyone to come here. But now when I talk to people on the phone or we do an original assessment, if I don't feel like this is a good fit for them, I'll be completely honest up front and say, I think what you're looking for is not something I can provide. And I'll refer them on. Like I have other gym owners and friends in the area that I'm more than happy to refer people to. And that's helped too, because then there's not that investment of my time and disappointment on my end when I knew probably deep down they probably weren't going to stick around anyway. So
definitely.
What do they say? Hire slow, fire fast, kind of the same mentality for adding on clients to my schedule.
And for those, I mean, like yourself, how you're in it for the long game, that only helps you in the long game, because that only builds up your reputation even more. It builds up more trust with people. Even if they don't, they have established a level of trust with you because they see you as someone that actually cares for them. And they actually may even send people to you because of that. Cause like they respect the fact that you're not just after to grab their money.
Yeah. I've even had people come back literally like 2 weeks later and be like, look, I was going to go somewhere else, but because you were so honest and like encouraging me to go see someone else, like I want to stay here and train with you. I've had that happen a few times. So it's kind of a cool full circle moment. Like, you know, you're nervous and you hate sending people away, but sometimes it ends up coming back to you in a good way anyway. So
definitely. I can completely believe that. And like I said, that's just having a longer focus in how you're handling and conducting yourself within your business and not just focusing on the short-term gain.
Yeah. Now I'll say probably early on in my career, that was absolutely nowhere near what I would have done. I've gotten older and into it longer, I much more see that.
Definitely.
So, and the sooner you can figure that out, the better, because I did not. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. I think that a little stuff like that goes a long way in helping prevent things like burnout.
Right.
With where you're spending your energy and everything. But I did want to give you a few minutes to kind of also share on your brand new CEU course that you just came out with. So I'd love to have you kind of explain what that is and if someone listening can benefit from it, how and where they can get access to it.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm laughing inside because people are probably like, "What? Who actually are her clientele?" Because I have quite a range of people that I work with, but it goes back to the stage. I always tell people it goes back to the stage of life I'm in. Like, I played college softball. I've always had a foot in that community. My daughter plays softball. I coach her team. So that is where that comes from. And then I have a son with special needs. I've been involved in the special needs community for 16 or 17 years now through Special Olympics. So my heart and passion's always been in that avenue. So that's kind of where this passion came from. Honestly, the motivation to adopt a child with Down syndrome came from my work with the special needs community. I had an older lady I worked with for many years, and she is who I dedicated this whole course to. So ACE, the American Council on Exercise, and I partnered together to create a continuing education program for trainers to learn how to best train clients with special needs. So I'm at the very end of it. So I'm exhausted with it right now, but also super excited. It's been over a year of putting this program together and 10 years of information that's going in and videos that are going into this program. But it'll be a CEU course called Adaptive Fitness Exercise Programming. And so I think it's going to end up being a 4-hour CEU course. Don't quote me on that for sure, at least in this first part. Just talking about how to best communicate with parents, how to approach clients with Down syndrome, clients with autism spectrum disorder, clients that either have traumatic brain injury or cerebral palsy, like people that are in wheelchairs, how to develop a program for them, how to communicate with them, how to get them to comply to the workouts, how to work with caretakers, guardians, parents, how to market and get your foot in that community to be seen as a understanding and caring trainer. It's very hard, and I can speak to this personally, it's very hard as a person or a parent who has a child with special needs to be willing to trust somebody else with your kid, because there's very many times where it's not handled well and you become super defensive and very concerned. And so learning to build that trust with parents or caretakers is another aspect that I talk about. But lots and lots of videos over the last 10 or 15 years that I've taken that are going into this course, showing you warm-ups, manipulatives that I use if a client doesn't have use of their hands, how to incorporate clients that are quadriplegic and can't use their arms and legs, how they can be a part of your program, or how to use someone with high anxiety that's on the spectrum, how to get them to work out and not be overstimulated. And just years and years of my experience of being a mom and a trainer for clients with special needs are going into creating this course. So I'm really excited to get that launched. So there will be two different parts of it. One, if you're a fitness trainer or a personal trainer, group coach, whatever, the program will be offered through ACE, the American Council on Exercise. Through my website will lead you to theirs, and then you can take the course through them. If you are a educator, someone that works in either a day service provider that works in the school system, then I will be providing that course personally myself, either through a hands-on presentation or through a little bit different version of the online program through ACE. So it'll be a little more directed to educators, caretakers, parents, that sort of thing. So there will be two avenues. They'll both be available on my website. But there will be two levels of this course, at least this first phase, that hopefully will be launching here in the next month or so. So
that's fantastic, and definitely something to be proud of, because I can't imagine the work that goes into creating a course that this elaborate as well. So I mean, that's, I'm sure it's something you're going to be able to breathe a little bit deeper once it all goes through and everything is finalized.
So yes,
I thought I always figured it was your son that triggered this path of working with special needs, not another client. So that was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I started working with her. She had Down syndrome and she became like an auntie to my kids and a huge part of our family. And so working with her actually encouraged the adoption of my son, which then led to all of this the last 10 years. So, and all of that's included in my story. It's very personal, which also makes it very nerve-wracking to put out there. Because it's a big part of my life, obviously. But also there's nothing else out there like this. Like, again, kind of forging the way in an area that's untapped. So when you're creating something that no one else really has done, or that there's not a lot of resources for, it's also scary because you hope you're hitting all the points that are important for people to know. So
yeah, no, that is true. But I think also keep in mind, I mean, I'm sure you're going to keep revising it. And yeah, it's something that's ever going to be kind of like dead. Like you always
say, yeah,
it's going to keep evolving and growing. But I think it's amazing what you're doing with that and the work that you're doing in that area, because it definitely is an area that really isn't known or like understood in most places and stuff. And I think I know like when I had my facility, I was approached by different parents that had special needs kids and stuff like that. And I mean, we always did what we could, but we never were necessarily equipped in the best way to be able to handle them in a way that's going to be like really positive for them. And there really was no place for me, like how you refer to people, there like was no place for me to refer anybody to.
Yeah.
It's gotta be frustrating for parents of special needs kids to not have more outlets for them.
Exactly.
So that's amazing. I love what you're doing with that. And it's been really cool to see your journey with that and how that's unfolding.
Thank you.
And as we work towards wrapping up the conversation, I always like to have you share like a message that you feel other gym owners need to hear, and like kind of like what's some advice that you would share with a gym owner that came to you for support. Doesn't matter whether they're newer or more of a veteran, and it doesn't necessarily have to be business related. I guess what do you feel is something that needs to be heard, that gym owners need to hear, basically?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was actually just thinking about this the other day. I was working with my intern and she kind of asked me a similar question. And I think at this stage in life, looking back now, because she was asking about what certifications to take and you know, and all that. And I, honestly, now that seems very trivial, not saying that you obviously need it, but I think what separates great trainers and coaches from good trainers and coaches is intuitiveness. I think so much of how I coach now and so much of how I direct a client is based off intuition, like reading their body language, reading between the lines of what they're telling me, asking good questions beyond where does it hurt? Yeah. What sports do you play? How many calories do you burn a day? Like, what's your day like? You know, do you go to bed exhausted? Like, do you have close friends that you hang out with? What do you like to do on the weekends? Like getting a feel for their whole life and kind of reading into that more. So I've changed so many of programs and the way I approach programs with people because of my intuition or feelings about where they're at in life right now. For example, I had a lady, this has probably been a year ago, come in and the life stresses that she's been through were beyond what most could ever handle. And she's overweight and her doctor told her she needed to lose weight and she's having a lot of joint pain. And she, you know, obviously people get very emotional because fitness is a very vulnerable thing for most people. And I actually just told her the only thing that I wanted her to do was one, I needed to give her a hug. And two, I didn't want her to do anything. Like I wanted her to not count calories. I did not want her to do a workout program. I didn't want her to track anything. Like literally, I just wanted her to go for a walk for 5 or 10 minutes every morning for the next 2 weeks and then come back in and we'll talk again. Like, I just needed her to carve out space in her day for herself to clear her mind. And she just started crying even more. And she's like, how did you know that? You know, how did you know that I couldn't take one more thing on? I was trying to like hide some of that from you or whatever. And I think, and maybe this comes with experience, like learning just to read between the lines of your clients of what they're really saying beyond what they're really saying. Yeah. And then giving them what they need, not what the book says or what a weight loss protocol says, but being able to truly help them as a person outside of weight gain, muscle gain, body fat percentages. Because there's most people need that first, then the weight loss and all that will come second. But I think most, and one of the most commonly overlooked things is learning how to read people and know people on a different level, and then the rest will make sense. So
definitely, I think that's such a powerful message, and it's really, it's just becoming better listeners too. And
yeah,
I think that obviously, like in your case, it only allowed you to connect with that woman even deeper. And then too, it's going to allow you to connect with people that you haven't even been able to talk to yet, like through your marketing, obviously, because
right,
you understand that person on a deeper level. And like, for any of you guys listening that are still trying to do copy and paste marketing methods, that's only going to take you so far. Like what Anna just shared is like, that's what's really going to drive your business to higher levels and also make you a better business owner and marketer. Because like we said before, I mean, this is a people business. This isn't, it's not like you're just selling a product. You're selling thin air in a sense, and you have to build connections with people. So that is such a powerful thing. And I think it's obviously a great point to wrap up this amazing conversation on. And I just want to thank you so much for taking the time, and your dedication to like your clients, and then also this industry as a whole is truly amazing.
Well, thank you. I always enjoy chatting with you.
Likewise. And I'm sure we'll maybe do this again.
Sounds great.
And for those that would like to continue the conversation with you, whether it's through talking to you about your business model or interest in your special needs program, where's the best place for them to connect with you?
Well, my website is shestrength.com. I think you can email or message me from there, but either Instagram at shestrength or Facebook, shestrength by Anna Woods Fitness. So any of those routes, I check pretty regularly. So,
and if you message Anna, be sure to mention you heard her on the Fitness Business Freedom podcast as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And we'll also be sure to have your links in the show notes as well. So if you forget what you just said, you can head over to the show notes and you'll be able to grab her contact links there as well. And of course, I want to just take a moment to thank you, the listener. Obviously, without you, this show wouldn't be a show. And I'm happy that you're looking for ways and resources to grow your business, which is fantastic and what we should always be doing. Now, the big thing is taking what you learned from this conversation and applying it to your business. That's where the true value comes in. And with that being said, I look forward to having you join us on the next Fitness Business Freedom show. Take care. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode on the Fitness Business Freedom Show. On behalf of Fitness Revolution and myself, we are thrilled you are looking for ways and resources to move your business forward, and we are honored to be that source for you. If you would like to receive more business building support from us, be sure to head over to the show notes and join our subscriber list and stay on top of all the industry insights that matter most to you. Now, before I close out today's show, if you found this episode beneficial in any way, I just ask you to leave us a simple review to help other gym owners find us and discover this show. Thank you so much, and I will see you on the next episode of the Fitness Business Freedom Show.